yesterday we did text 13. Today we'll do text 14. Apanya Sanskritin Ghorang Jannama Vibasho Grinan Tataha Saddo Vimucheta Jadvibheti Swayam Bhayam. So Apanna Sanskritin Ghoram. Apanna means being entangled. Sanskritin means in the hurdle of birth and death. Sanskriti means the cycle of birth and death. The hurdle of birth and death. Are you familiar with the word samsara? Samsara dhavana. Of samsriti and samsara is coming from the same root. Apanna sanskritim ghoram. Ghoram means? Ghoram can mean, here Prabhupada has translated as too complicated. Ghoram also can mean very frightening, very dangerous. Very dangerous, complicated, frightening. Jat means which? Nama. Nama means holy name of Krishna. The absolute name. And Vibasha means? Vibasha means unconscious. Grinan? Grinan means chanting. Right? Jannama Vibasha Grinan. Even if it is chanted unconsciously. Then what happens? Tataha. Tataha means from that. Sadhya. Tato sadhya vimucheta. Sadhya means immediately. At once. Vimucheta. Muchyanti sarvakilvishai. Muchyanti. Very good. Very good. Vimucheta means gets freedom. Tato sadhya. He immediately becomes freed. From what? Apanna samsritim ghoram. The dangerous hurdle or entanglement of the cycle of birth and death, of this material nature. And so what does it mean? It means that even if one chants the holy name of the Lord unconsciously, still he will become free from this dangerous, frightening, entangling bondage of the cycle of birth and death. So what's the easiest way of becoming free from the entanglement of the material nature? Just by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Even by unconsciously chanting, we get this benefit. Can you imagine what will be the benefit if it is chanted consciously? Knowing that Krishna wanted us to chant, and that's why we are chanting. If we chant, Krishna will be pleased. And what is the last line? Who remembers? Without looking at the computer. Okay, tell me. Jat? Jat Bibheti. Bhai means? Fear. Bhayam here means personified fear. Fear person. Bibheti means, this word also is coming from the root of bhai. Bibheti means, bhai means fear, and bibheti means afraid of. Jat bibheti swayam, bhayam. Even swayam bhayam. The fear himself, fear personified, is afraid of this holy name. So holy name is so powerful that even fear personified is afraid of it. So if we take shelter of the holy name, what will happen to Mr. Fear?
No fear at all.
Mr. Fear will run away from there immediately for his own life. So who is saying this? I'll ask this question to Chappi. Who is saying this? And to whom he is saying? Who is saying this? Very good. But are all the sages speaking at the same time? Then, how are they questioning? Their Saunaka Rishi was their spokesperson. On behalf of the sages, Saunaka Rishi is asking the question. To whom? Chintamani? To Sutta Goswami. Very good. So now, let us read the translation again. Everybody understood the meaning of this verse? Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. So, when we chant the holy name of the Lord, should we have any fear of anything? No. We become fearless by chanting the holy name. And as a result of that chanting, we immediately become free from the cycle of birth. Now, here, do you see the link between samsritim, ghoram, and jad bibheti swayam bhayam? The cycle of birth and death and fear personified. Is there any link? What is the link between the cycle of birth and death and fear personified? Because the cycle of birth and death causes us fear. All the fears are coming from our material existence, which is actually centered around this cycle of birth. And what is the worst fear? What is the most frightening thing? Death. Now, when one takes shelter of the holy name of the Lord, does he have any fear of death? And that is the sign of our spiritual advancement. If we are practicing spiritual life, but if we are afraid of death, that means we are not making any progress. That means our condition is like the marriage party. You know the story of the marriage party? No? You see, in India they travel, especially in eastern part of Bengal, they travel by boat. There's no roadways. There are riverways. There's so many rivers. So often they travel by boat. So once a marriage party, in India generally the marriages take place in the house of the bride. And the groom comes with his aunt, with his party to the house of the bride, and the marriage takes place. The bride groom is called Bor, and the party is called Bor Jatri, the bride's party. Sometimes they have 200-300 people accompany the bridegroom in the wedding. So this party left, and marriage is always a big occasion. Like everywhere, it's a big festivity. And especially materialistic people, mundane people, they like to attend weddings. So, they set out at night, the bridegroom's party set out, Borjatri started, the marriage party started. So, they must have ate nicely because they're in their house, in the bridegroom's house also, there must have been some feast. They ate very nicely and then they went to the boat and they thought that boat will go sail through the night and in the morning they'll reach the bride's house. And so they went to the boat and they all fell asleep. And the boatman was supposed to take the boat, row the boat to the destination. But in the morning when they woke up, they found that the boat didn't move. The boat is still where they actually started. So they got very angry because the whole program is now spoiled. The bridegroom will not allow, will not reach the bride's home to have the wedding. So they started to scream at the boatman. They're about to beat the boatman. And the boatman was telling, no, I didn't, I rowed the boat all the night, throughout the night. Please believe me, they said, you rascal, you've been sleeping the whole night. And the more they were chastising him, the more he was appealing, please believe me, I was rowing the boat the whole night. But then they found that the boatman forgot to pull the anchor. So, if you row the boat and with your anchor sticking to the ground, then will the boat move? So similarly, if we make this spiritual practice, but if our anchor is still stuck to this material nature, then what will happen? Will you make any spiritual progress? So in order to make spiritual progress, what do we have to do? We have to pull the anchor. Then only we'll be able to move quickly towards our destination. So, Shripati ji, did you pull your anchor?
I'm trying.
Very good. So, your trying means you have pulled to some extent. Alright? Or you're being humble. Not saying that you have pulled it completely. Very good. So, purport by Srila Prabhupada, Vasudeva, Lord Krishna, the Absolute Personality of Godhead, is the supreme controller of everything. There is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Great asuras like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa and others, who are very powerful living entities, were all killed by the Supreme Personality of God. And the Almighty Vasudeva has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. Everything is related to him and everything has its identity in him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates that the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. Therefore, the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. There is no difference at all. Anyone, therefore, can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. So, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. Very good. And if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then what will happen? Chintamani. Very good. What does the cycle of birth and death do? Causes fear. So, Champi, are you afraid? I thought you were fearless. Anyway, Chintamani will teach us how to be fearless. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Today, Dr. Anderson has come. He just came to meet me. So, he'll be coming at 10 o'clock. I think he'll take breakfast in the hotel. And so, let me take my breakfast in the meantime. Thank you very much. And what's others' breakfast, Suchitra? Idli. Wonderful. And you're depriving me of the idli. No, I was joking. No, actually in the morning, I'm kind of sticking to this program, oats and milk. So, you'll be here for a few days, yeah? And, okay, how many days? Oh, very good. Evening session. Yes, we can have evening session. What's your idea? I thought you all are missing yesterday. I had to call you. It was mainly because yesterday, because Tammy was here, we wanted to show she was leaving. So, Guru Gauranga wanted me to show that Ujjain DVD. Oh, she was completely impressed with that. Yeah. And, yeah, Ujjain is already so impressive. And this is, mind you, this is just the beginning. Right? Another 1 year, the apartments will be ready. Another 2 years, the IT park will be ready. Another 4 years, the international school will be ready. And maybe another 5 years and the theme park will be ready. So, can you imagine like in 5 years time? And every year we can come up with a DVD telling them what's happening. You see, what we can, I'll tell you, what we are doing in Ujjain, eventually we'll replicate that everywhere. Say for example, I'll just give you an example. In Ujjain, we have this restaurant. Now, I don't think anywhere in ISKCON, there is a restaurant like that. Bombay restaurant may be quite opulent, look-wise, but the prasad is not as good as Ujjain. People just come and tell me things. But, you know, in Ujjain, in a day, we sell about 10 to 20,000 rupees. The weekends maybe we do about 20,000 rupees in normal, the regular days, weekdays, we do 10,000. it's okay, like it brings some profit. But you know how much they sell in Bombay? 6 lakhs. So on good days, they sell 6 lakhs. Even not being so good. Now, what we are doing in Ujjain, the restaurant, we'll open restaurants in other places. Like we are already planning to set up a restaurant in Bombay. You know, who will run that? Jyoti will run that. And run that means, you know, what we'll do is, we'll give her the franchise. Let her run it. We'll set the standard. Like in America they have, you know, this Pizza Hut and all those places. Like they have thousands of such operations worldwide. But they don't run it themselves. They give franchise. Ready? Okay. So similarly, you know, we'll give franchise. Like, first one probably will be in Bombay with Jyoti. And once we set it up in Bombay, other places, like the other day I got a very good idea. You see, Rani has a house in Sirdi. Sirdi is the place where it's a big, big place of pilgrimage. Thousands of people go there every day. And a restaurant like ours will have such an appeal there. So maybe we'll start opening them in Sirdi, in Tirupati, in all these big, big places of pilgrimage. And then we'll open in Bombay, after Bombay, we're thinking of Delhi, Calcutta, Madras, Bangalore, Hyderabad. And you know, but the thing, Ujjain is going to be the base. We will train up the people in Ujjain, right? And our menu will be the same. Everywhere we'll have the same menu. And similarly, the theme park, we'll make the setup in Ujjain, maybe it won't be that big, appeal-wise, right? But still, in Ujjain, sometimes, you know, in a day, they get 100,000 people coming. So if 100,000 people come in Ujjain, because this, after all, is a place of pilgrimage. So most of those people will come, and this will attract other people also. Like theme park will attract a lot of children. Now this theme park, once we have set up in Ujjain, then we'll set it up in other places. We'll set it up in Delhi, Bombay, all the big cities. But the model will be in Ujjain, and then we'll expand it. Let me see. First, let us focus in India, because in India it is easy to get things done. Like the temple I built. I couldn't do it in India. You know, just for example, you know, like on a regular basis, 300 workers are working. Can I hire 300 people in India? Even if you pay them $100 a day, we have to pay $30,000 a day. Just to the laborer. Now what to say? And you won't get skilled labor like that. These are all skilled labor. Marble carvers, you know, wood carvers, you know, sort of. So, once we have conquered India, then we come.